of Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, if you got a legal question, legal problem, just a problem, doesn't really have to be a legal problem. I'd love to help you if I can. Come in every Saturday morning, open up the law office here at the radio station, take your questions. They can be about anything. They can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, can be about probate litigation, trust litigation, can be about family law. Can be about real estate law, can be just any type of legal question. If I know the answer, I'll be glad to share it with you. If I don't know the answer, hey, I'll let you know, but we have plenty of resources to figure out what the answer is, where you need to go, what you need to do. So you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And all you have to do is to call that number, ask your question. Your question hopefully would help you and helps other people listening to maybe have similar circumstances to learn a little bit, learn what to do, maybe give you a little peace of mind. I had a great presentation this week, opportunity to come to Jacksonville. And on Wednesday was at Marshlands Country Club. And it was, I didn't count them, but it seemed to be around 200 ladies at a alumni newcomers club. This coming week, we have a speech coming up, a talk coming up at Indian Rocks Baptist Church on Wednesday night. Now, that's at 6:30, and public's invited to that. So I do that several times a year, come into Indian Rocks there. And come in and give a presentation on being a good steward with your assets, what to do with them. So, hey, if you belong to Aquinas Club, any type of alumni club, like I spoke at this week, oh, that was a great group. I really enjoyed that. And just great questions from the audience. It was just a very nice event. I really appreciate the opportunity of doing that. But if you have a group, doesn't have to be 200 people. I go speak all the time to groups of 20, 30, 40, 50. Any size group is fine. The smallness of the group doesn't really affect whether I come or not. If I get invited, I can come. Just have to get it scheduled. If you need a speaker for your group, you can call our toll-free office number 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. Also had a talk last week on Tuesday morning at Westminster. That was in the St. Petersburg area. And that was a great group. So, try to make it very educational, helpful. And also, there's a little humor usually involved here and there with the presentation to make it flow good. So, hey, if you have a legal question this morning, you have a toll-free number. It can be about anything. Something that's bothering you. Some legal question about estate planning, family law, real estate. All you have to do is call our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. One of the questions I had this week was from a lady who we were talking about spousal rights as part of the seminar. So, you know, your spouse has certain rights to your estate. You might have a will that leaves everything to your children from a prior marriage, but unless you have a pre- or post-marital agreement, you don't really have the right to leave everything. Your spouse has a right to live in the homestead for life, or maybe even sell the homestead and take half the proceeds, and can get 30% of the other part of the estate. And it doesn't matter that if you have joint accounts with children or accounts with children with beneficiaries, it doesn't matter. Your spouse has certain rights. So this question came in from the audience during the question and answer period. She wanted to know if a married person moved in with another person and didn't divorce their spouse, just moved in with another person, did they have any rights with that person? Of course, the answer is no. You're not married to that person, so there's no spousal rights. In fact, even if you're separated, your real spouse there has certain spousal rights. Let's go to Alan calling from Sarasota. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Joe. I'm a reluctant landlord. I couldn't sell my house, so I rented it to an unmarried couple. And we encourage dogs because we're dog lovers, but the dog, one of their dogs, there's a fairly strict pet addendum attached to the lease. One of their dogs attacked the neighbor's dog in the neighbor's yard and chewed it up quite badly. And the tenants were, you know, upset about it and paid the vet bills and everything. But the neighbors were particularly concerned because the house next door where the incident occurred is leased by a man's mother-in-law. And so he's afraid to take his grandkids over there in the yard, and she's afraid to go out in the yard. This dog that was attacked was apparently an aggressive dog, but it seemed like that was somewhat irrelevant. Anyway, we sent them a notice to cure, and they refused to do anything about it, claiming that the dog was a service dog. And we then threatened eviction, which we didn't think was any other option to do that with our liability involved. And they refused to comply with anything we did and claimed Fair Housing Act discrimination.
All right, so you had a court hearing?
No court hearing. We finally gave up because...
All right, so you filed a court petition for eviction, though, right?
The maintenance, the rental management company filed a order to cure, which was to remove the dog or move out.
Okay.
They refused to comply.
So there's a court order for them to move out?
No court order, just a notice.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't gone any further because...
All right, so I think you need to hire, you need to hire an attorney to file an eviction and get a court order to where they have to leave. And then if you have to have a police help you go to them to move them out, then they do that.
Yeah, we didn't want to go through all that, but...
Yeah, we might not have a choice now because you have liability issues because you have history of a dog attack. So I think you need to do something about it.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, Alan. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. 877 is your toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans this weekend. I know I served in the Virginia National Guard for 11 years when OCS, when I exited as a captain of a combat engineer group. My dad, still living, 94 years old, was a Marine and served our country. So we're both very, very proud of those years that we served. And happy Veterans Day to all those people that are listening. Our producer is a veteran. Well, Alan, happy Veterans Day to you. And again, continue to pray for our veterans and pray for our country and even pray for the election results that with all the recounts and all that stuff's going on. That's pretty nasty stuff, I think, from what I can tell. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call the show at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. If you are listening in the Jacksonville area on WBOB, we're broadcasting on multiple stations all around Florida. I'm physically in Jacksonville today, and I'm also going to be on the next two shows that follow my show. So I'm going to be on with Angela and Howard on their real estate show, and I'm going to be with Steve Van Wee on his financial show. So I'm going to be hanging around the radio station this morning for 3 hours. I'm not quite sure. I think they're going to, both of those shows are going to allow questions to come in as well. So let's go to Jim and Brandon.
Thank you for taking my call, Joe.
My pleasure. What can I do for you?
Joe, we have a situation where we have a realtor who claims to own a house. There have been violations against the homeowners association by him, and he's been asked to prove that he is the owner of the house. And so far what's happened is the house is in the name of a trustee, I mean of a trust. The house is put in a trust. And we can find no evidence that the realtor is either a trustee or a beneficiary of the trust.
Now, who is we, and why are you interested?
Okay, Homeowners Association, and this particular homeowner is violating the covenants of the community. So the Homeowners Association has said to him, you need to comply with the covenants, and you need to make these corrections. He says, I'm not going to make the corrections. I'll do what I want to do. And so as the Homeowners Association looked into the home itself, it comes to find out that the home is in a trust and that his name does not appear as a trustee, nor does it appear as a beneficiary. So the question is this person even the owner of the house? Is the association dealing with the wrong person?
Well, you got to go with what's on the county records is what the owner of the house is. So if the owner of the house is a trust, then you would have to serve papers on the trustee of the trust. And because he's a tenant, he might not have the responsibility to do those repairs, but you can follow action against the trust. I mean, if that's a public record, you know who the trustee is, that's where you follow your action.
Okay. All right, well, he himself is not a tenant. He has rented the place.
Okay.
To others.
Okay.
And but if we call up the trust and we look at the trust and he is not named as a trustee in the trust,
mm-hmm,
or a beneficiary, can he claim, well, I've got power of attorney? Does that make him an owner, or can he act as an owner?
No. No, you're going to have to file a lawsuit against the trustee of the trust.
Okay. So
now, his defense might be this or that, but then you have to deal with that, whatever his defense is, whatever the defense the trustee has.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, you have to go with what's on the public record. The public record shows the trust is the owner, so you have an action against the trustee.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have attorneys that handle HOA things?
I can probably, if you want to contact me, I'll try to find one for you.
Thank you.
Our firm doesn't do that, but I can certainly talk to you about how to find one.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Excuse me, 73. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Jim in Haines City, Florida.
Hello.
Hey, Jim.
Yes. I have a friend, she's 94 years old. Several years ago, she made a will and named me as the executor of the will. Since then, the state has put her in a guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think since they pronounced her incompetent, they have talked her in changing the will. Can they do that?
Well, who is they?
Her guardian.
Well, the guardianship could very well has a list of what she can do and can't do, and it very well could be that the court papers say she's not able to sign legal documents, including the will. So if she's been deemed mentally incompetent, it doesn't sound like to me that she would have the possibility of making a new will.
Well, that's what I figured. You know, is there anything I can do?
Well, do you have a do you have a copy of the new will?
I don't have a copy of the new will. I have the copy of the will she made before they made her incompetent.
Have you discussed your concerns with the guardian?
Yes, and I said, could she do that legally? And she said yes. And I said, I'm going to see how they can when the state said she can't even sign checks.
Well, listen, you can go down to, it should be a public record what's going on with the guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go down to the courthouse and tell the clerk of court your concerns, and you would like to see the guardianship order in this particular case because you believe you have suspicions that the guardian has changed the will, and you've been told that most likely if she's been deemed incompetent, the guardian doesn't have the power to change the will, and you'd like a copy of the court order appointing the guardian.
Okay. And I'm not included in the will, but I want to protect her family because I know her niece is.
Yeah. Well, you go down to the courthouse and see how far you get with looking at the public records about the guardianship.
Okay, down Bartow.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's in Polk County. Haines City, yes, in Bartow. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
You have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Let's go to Larry. Hey, Larry.
Yes. Yes, sir. You there?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
A couple of years ago, I got divorced in 05, and my wife or ex-wife had a lawyer, and, you know, of course I did, and I took four of one. And the papers I had signed, she had ended up taking me to court for half of medical bills. And what the deal was, I mean, I paid insurance, you know, and I paid my child support. And she was mad because I was supposed to get to claim him on taxes. She wanted to claim him on taxes, and I was going to claim him. So she took me to court for half the medical. And the judge said on there that, you know, it didn't have no time limit on it, that she could go back, you know, we got divorced in like 05, that she could go back all the way till then, and I would owe half. Is that so, even if she didn't even pay the bills on it?
All right,
shorten
this up for a little bit. So there's a divorce order that required you to make payments for what now?
Required me to pay half of all the medical.
Okay.
And
along the way, this happened, the court order was back in 2006 or something?
2005.
And have you ever paid any part of the medical bill since 2005?
Yes, sir. You know, but I ain't really keep record of it.
Keep records?
No, sir. That's what I was asking. And she didn't, but she said that she would call the hospital and get all records. And I just didn't know what all she could really do.
All right. So if somebody, you know, the statute of limitations on payments for medical bills that go back that far have probably taken hold, and could be the medical bills are written off and are not even an expense anymore. But if she didn't pay them or prove that she paid some medical bills, and of course she can't go against you to collect half of a bill that she didn't pay.
Okay.
If she can come in and produce medical bills and show records that she paid them, she might have some action against you to come up with half of the money of what she's paid. You know, but definitely not things that didn't get paid. And definitely not things that might have, the statute of limitations might have run.
Because I know she didn't pay them.
Yeah. Well, she'd have to have proof of that.
She was trying to hit me with my son had to get shots every month for like 5 years for allergies.
Yeah, how old is your son now?
Oh, he's 20 now.
Okay.
And then I got a 17-year-old with her, too. And that's another thing. It said I had to pay the same amount until both of them was 18. My oldest had lived with me since he was 16. A 17-year-old lives with her.
Okay. Well, just have her provide proof of payment before you do anything. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Bob in Tarpon Springs. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Joe. Nice to talk with you. I appreciate the opportunity.
My pleasure. What can I do for you?
Well, about 5 weeks ago or so, I started receiving weekly notices from a collection agency, saying that I owe $269.28, a very exact number, to Rooms to Go. I've never bought anything from Rooms to Go in my life. And it's got an address, Trans World Systems is the collection agency. Mm-hmm. They have a Pennsylvania address, but they're telling me to send the money to Rooms to Go, some P.O. box number and stuff.
All right, well, demand proof of the debt, ask for copies of the invoices or credit card statements or whatever they have that shows that you owe money, ask for that. It's very well possible that they have a person with your same name, but it could be, you know, to a different location that the actual bill was made, which means it's a different person. So you just got to be proactive. You got to deny that you owe money and ask for proof of the purchases.
Okay. Should I call these numbers they've got here?
No, I would do, you know, verbal doesn't work most of the time. I would do everything by letter, and maybe sometimes even certified mail would be better.
Certified mail, okay.
Tell them that you don't appreciate them possible harming your credit record on the bill that you don't owe. So go on the offense, you know, and do it in writing.
Yeah, and the last notice I got from them a few days ago said that unless payment is made, we may recommend to our client that this account be transferred to their team of professional telephone collectors. Now, that's when they call you day and night, evidently.
That's why you should have an answering machine and don't let, unless you really know. Yeah, just don't take their calls.
But I haven't gotten a call yet.
Okay.
All right, so I should send the letter to should I send the letter to the collection agency in Pennsylvania?
Or yeah, whoever you got the last letter from.
Or PO box.
Yeah, whoever you got the last letter from trying to collect the money is where you send the letter to.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
All right.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question or maybe just a problem you'd like to talk to somebody about, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Glad to take your call. And hopefully we can help you and help other people that are listening to the show. Let's go to Sharon in Clearwater.
Good morning.
Hey, Sharon.
Hi. I am my mother's successor trustee of her living revocable trust.
Mm-hmm.
And could you walk me through the process?
Art, you're the successor, so she's still acting as a trustee, and you're just a backup upon death or incapacity.
Right, and I didn't know once she passes away, what do I do?
All right.
Walk me through the process.
Yeah. Well, the successor trustee... Yeah, the successor trustee, which let's say she passes away, would take your death certificate around to the various places she has accounts, show them the trust, show them you're the successor trustee by showing them the document, show them your ID, and then they will make you the trustee instead of her under those circumstances. So then you have possession of the money to pay bills, due creditors, and then eventually make the distribution.
Okay.
If mother becomes incapacitated before death, then the easy way is, while she's still competent, just to get her to resign as trustee and hand the job over to you. If she didn't do that, then you need two doctor's letters to say that she's not able to handle her financial affairs. And that would be sufficient for you to take over as a trustee and handle her bills for her.
Okay, yes, because she's already made me her successor trustee.
Yeah, you're the successor, but you're not in the position of being the trustee yet.
Right.
So she either has to die, resign, or you have two doctor's letters so you get bumped up to the actual job itself.
Okay. And then from there, what's the process after she passes away? And
you pay the bills, deal with creditors, and eventually make the distribution. And when all the assets come out of the trust, then your job is done.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Steve in Bradenton.
Hello.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, so I own a rental property down in Fort Myers, and somebody drove into it and hit the carport, and the person that was driving it was not on the insurance policy, and the owner of the car was not in the car. Mm-hmm. And so the insurance company is claiming that the person that owns the car and the insurance policy is not responding to them, so they can't make a settlement to pay for repairs, and that's what they're hanging on. What should I do?
Well, did you ask them why they haven't filed a lawsuit?
Who, me? Why I haven't filed a lawsuit?
Yeah, why hasn't the insurance company filed a lawsuit?
Oh, my insurance. I don't have insurance for this on this property.
No, why the... Okay, so you filed a claim with the car owner or driver's insurance.
Right. Uh-huh.
And their response is they can't reach the owner, so they're not doing anything?
Exactly.
So how much is the damages?
Well, I had two contractors go out. There's a little over $10,000. They had an adjuster go out for $1,600. And, big difference there. And that's where it stands right now. They say they're not going to make no decision.
I think you need to file a lawsuit.
Okay.
You need to have an attorney file a lawsuit for you.
Yeah, against the driver, the owner of the car, and the insurance company.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yep. Okay. That's what I thought I was next to do.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's go to Connie in Newport Richey. Hey, Connie.
Hello, how are you?
Doing great,
thank you for taking my call. Okay, it goes back to 1985, okay, I'm sorry. But our daughter was killed in 1985.
Oh, very sorry.
And thank you. And both insurance companies, one came up with, by a car, one came up with $200,000, and ours came up with $200,000, even though, it wasn't our child's fault. But anyway, we ended up with $400,000. So my husband said, I would like to open a store. We're going to be moving to a new home. He said, I'd like to open a store. I said, a lighting store. I said, I don't think, it's a good idea. You really don't know about sales that way. But I said, if you want to, that's fine. But leave my $200,000 in, please, so that we can send our living girls, who are 12 and 14, to college. Well, my ex and I decided to get divorced in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And, so in judge's chambers, the judge said, are you not giving your wife anything? No alimony, nothing. And my ex-husband said, well, I had to file bankruptcy on the store. I filed bankruptcy on, I lost our house. He lost everything, okay? Mm-hmm. And he said, I have a very bad heart and no one will hire me. Well, I found out that he did not have a bad heart. His heart was, he did at one time, but I spoke with the doctor that did the surgery, and he said he's going to live forever. And on top of that, he was considered a 35-year employee of a very well-known, established firm. Okay.
All right, so what you got to ask me a question here, though.
Okay, the question is this. He took my $200,000 also.
Back in 1995?
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And the most I have been doing is because I was so afraid I'd lose my children to him because they just adore him. And he's very wealthy right now. And I just wrote him nice notes asking him, please, please, you're rich now. I need the money. I desperately, it's my money. And he won't answer me. He won't talk to me, nothing. And now I'm thinking, should I just put my head in the sand and forget the whole thing? It's really hurting me. It's wrong.
Well, let me ask you this. Was the $200,000, when you get divorced, you have to do these financial affidavits where all the assets are disclosed. So was the $200,000 disclosed on the, or did he lose everything back then and now he just became wealthy after the fact?
You got it. That's exactly right. He, yes, he remarried and he owns homes and he's very wealthy. And that is my money.
Well, it was money he made after the divorce, though.
But you, when I asked him, I said, I'm so sorry that you've lost the business. I'm sorry that you're broke.
Yeah.
Do you really want me to go to the bank and get my $200,000? And he looked at me and he said, you're such a fool. I used that money already. I've lost it ages ago.
I think your biggest problem would be the statute of limitations is long gone on getting money back.
Okay.
So I think, I don't know, you might go visit with an attorney and just get set to have it set down face-to-face or whatever time that would take to discuss it. But just sitting here, my first thought is the statute of limitation is come and gone, and you'd have a very difficult time. You have a very low very low probability of getting the money, in my opinion, just sitting here with the facts.
All right.
Again.
I'll take your opinion. Thank
All right.
you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Phone lines are open. If you have a question or a problem, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Scott in Bradenton.
Hey, I enjoy the show. I have a question about renter's rights. I'm trying to help someone out, and she mentioned she is paying between $400 and $600 a month in electricity bills for a three-bedroom, two-bath house. And from what I can tell, the homeowner has pretty much let this place go and is not doing anything, any repairs. Does she have any rights there to force him to make repairs so that her electricity bill would go down?
It all really depends on the lease that she signed. If you get somebody to do a study to say, this is not a normal situation, this should be repaired, and it's costing, you know, $150 extra electrical bill per month because of the poor condition of the property, you might have something in writing to show someone where they might need to, you know, take some action on something, or she might be able to terminate the lease.
Okay. So our first thing would be to look at the lease and see if it says anything in there about
And then the second thing is to get a home repair type of person to make a written report of what needs to be done, and it's not is beyond the standard of normal condition of a property that's causing her extra, you know, air conditioning money. It should be brought up to code or standards or repairs.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Phone lines are open. We have about 15 minutes left in the show, maybe 17 minutes. And if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we are here to help as many people as we possibly can. If you'd like to receive our free estate planning poster sheet, this is a large poster sheet with five articles about estate planning, different aspects of estate planning, the options in estate planning, the consequences of the choices you make in estate planning. We have a diagram of how trust works, an explanation of one of your three options. We have a cost of probate article, what probate actually costs, what probate is. And on the other side has all of our office locations, website information, radio show information. If you'd like this, I'd love to send it to you. And you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, which is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200. Person answering the phone will take your name and address. We'll be glad to send the poster sheet out. If you would like to email me your name and address, it's just Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's attypip.com. If you would like to text me your name and address, it's 727-667-3967. Phone lines are open. If you want to call the show, you have this number to call, 877-943-9673. And let's go to Alan in Riverview.
Hey, good morning. Really enjoy the show, sir.
Well, thank you.
Very knowledgeable.
Thank you.
I have a comment and then a question on that last caller in regards to energy efficiency of a home. Most energy companies offer a free audit. For example, here in Tampa Bay, TECO will come out and tell you where the majority of your energy loss is coming from, and that would probably be recognized as an authority in a legal matter.
Yeah, well, great recommendation. That really is. I mean, my provider sends me letters that maybe once a year or so often to do a free audit. So that's a great
right.
thought.
Very good, sir. And then just this might be out of your field, but you're such a brainiac, I thought I'd pass it by you. What do you think of the election results and all these lawyers running down to Broward County? How do you think that's going to turn out?
You know, it's just disgusting to me. And, you know, I keep hearing news reports, and I'm wondering, why hasn't this election supervisor in Broward County, why hasn't she been terminated? I mean,
absolutely.
There's just so many levels of
incompetence.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. That's what most of the news reports show. So if this has happened over and over and over again, how does she still have a job? And why hasn't someone done some type of action to remove her from her job so the level of incompetence doesn't continue to happen? I don't know. It's like you keep doing the same thing, you get the same result. But it's incompetence and messes up elections. It gives Florida a bad name, and
right.
you don't have a good result. I mean, I think it's just disgusting. I just wonder every time I hear these reports, why hasn't someone terminated her? Now, I thought through that, too, and I'm thinking, well, she's probably an elected official.
Exactly.
But an elected official who's incompetent to do their job properly, there's got to be a way to remove them from office, is what I'm thinking. So I think it's all going to turn out what we all thought at the end of election night.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still going to end up that way, but, you know, there's a big cloud over it, and who really knows?
I'll never forget, and just real quickly, I live in Brandon, and if you remember the Bush-Gore
Yeah.
It came down to, I think, 400 votes to decide the president of the United States from Brandon. Just amazing.
Yep. All right, but thanks for calling.
God bless you.
God bless you. All right, let's go to Jay in Jacksonville.
Yeah. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, I have a... not a normal situation, but you said you can call about any kind of, concern.
Mm-hmm.
My particular concern is I am a senior citizen here in Jacksonville, and I'm in a rooming house, a small house. And this other person moved in here, this gentleman, and come to find out, he is a convicted felon,
mm-hmm.
Predator. And I have seen...
He's a sexual predator?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I have not been very comfortable the last few months in what I have seen, how he...
Did you report this to the, to the landlord?
Yeah, here in Jacksonville, I did do that.
Did you do it in writing?
No, not in writing.
I would do everything like that in writing. So verbal gets forgotten.
Okay.
You do a letter that you are a tenant concerned about... another tenant that's a felon and a sexual predator, and you don't think that he should be amongst you, and you have... But do it in writing.
That.
Do it in writing.
I understand that part. Okay, I'm going to do that part.
All right.
Now, I actually did that part as verbal, but you know what they told me?
What?
I come to find out he comes from Chicago, and he moved here, come to learn other things that other people know him.
Mm-hmm.
And I see him, we have a daycare maybe just a block away from where we live.
Yeah. Do and you have other, do you have other tenants with the same concerns?
No, just only him and I.
No, do you have other tenants who have the same concerns you do about this person?
Well, I shared it with my neighbor. She's like 85, and she said, oh, you just be careful, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, maybe the more people you have being in the neighborhood that are concerned about it, the more likely that some action can be taken.
Okay. Now, one more thing. He's in near a school, and he comes from another state. Come to find out, Jacksonville said to me, the detective that they directed me to, she said that we can't do anything because our state do not even go against that. His state do one thing, and our state do another. So we can't even...
No, it's governed by Florida law, though, if he's here. So whatever the laws are about sex, sexual predators and notification of the neighborhood and all the other little things that go along with that, it would be governed by Florida. I don't know. I don't have a list of those in front of me right now as I'm being on the radio, but there are things that the community has to be warned about sexual predators in the area. And
yeah. So how would I do that?
So I would just talk to – I would do everything in writing, get other other people in the neighborhood to do everything in writing about their concerns about this person. And, you know, say the neighborhood's not...
I actually pulled him up on the internet, and it's there.
Yeah.
Him.
Okay.
And he's really strange.
All right. Well, so, I hope you get it worked out.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do that.
All right.
And I thank you for your time.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Let's go to Todd in Lakeland. Hey, Todd. Is Todd in Lakeland there? I guess not. Todd, we lost you. If you want to call back, we'll get you right on. So if you want to call the show, you have a toll-free number for other listeners. I think we have about 9 minutes left in the show, but you can get on at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And if you are listening on the Jacksonville station where I'm broadcasting from today, stay tuned for the Howard and Angela Real Estate Show, which I'm going to be a guest on their show. And I don't exactly know what they have planned to ask me, but you'll probably be able to call in with your questions there, your real estate questions, on their show. And then following their show, I'm a guest on the financial show that follows that with Steve Van Wee. So if you have a question now, though, we have a few more minutes at 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. If you'd like my free estate planning poster sheet, I'll be handing those out at Indian Rocks Baptist Church Wednesday night, giving a presentation there at 6:30. It's open to the public. If you want contact information about where the church is, you can call our office or send me an email or text me. And I'd be more than share the address with that. If you want the poster sheet, or information about the presentation, or maybe your group needs a speaker, you have a toll-free office number at 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. Phone lines are open here at 877-943-9673. Let's go to Todd, who's back from Lakeland. Hey, Todd.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I got a question to ask you. Okay, I've been living in a house. It's a duplex. My landlord lives downstairs. We live upstairs. I've been there for 7 years, going on 8 years as of April. We rent a three-bedroom apartment. It's $900 a month, and she's going to be raising the rent up as of the first of the year. And our back bedroom, which is the master bedroom, the ceilings are starting to fall down. The side of the walls are falling down. It ruined our mattress. So basically, we're not sleeping in our bedroom now.
Mm-hmm.
We're down in the living room. Now, my question is, like I said, she's up in the rent as of the first of the year. I've had a dog, and she's known I've had a dog since a pup. I mean, he's only 10 months old, but she's raised. She's wants us to sign a new lease as of the first of the year. Now, my question is what rights do I have as a tenant?
So you have an annual lease?
No, when we originally moved in there, like I said, the rent was $700 when we moved in there.
You have a month-to-month lease with no, nothing?
Now, yeah, we're just We hadn't signed another lease in, like I said, we've been there for 7 years. As of February, it'll be 8 years. But as of the first of the year, she's signing a new lease, and she's trying to, with the old lease, we had access to the driveway, to the attic, because like I said, we haven't had the access for all that. And then the new lease that she's preparing as of the first of the year wants me to get rid of my dog. And yeah. She's trying to boost our rent up to $1,000. And we've been asking her for, like I said, almost 8 months to fix our back bedroom. I'm just curious, as a tenant, what rights do I have?
Well, you have the right to live in a place that's in reasonable repair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever thought about just leaving? I mean, if she's not going to fix the place, she's going to make a hassle with more money and not want you to pay extra for the dog, and she won't do repairs. Why don't you just start looking now? You've got 2 months or seven weeks or so.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to, you know, like I said, if I have to pay, what I'm shooting for, I mean, my taxes are coming up right now, holiday time, you know, money's tight for me. You know, I'm looking to try to get out of there by April. I'm just
her rights would be to give you a 30-day notice.
Okay.
And if you don't like the lease, course you don't have to sign it.
Okay.
She has a duty to make reasonable repairs on the property, but that language about that might be in the lease also.
Yeah.
And without a lease, you're not in a very good position because she can just give 30-day notice and go with someone else. So she sounds like to me she's trying to get you to leave.
So yeah, I mean, we haven't had, like I said, rent's been on time, everything, you know, it's just where we're at, the area where we're in. I mean, when we moved in there, you know, it was $700, but the people around where we live, they've been selling their houses, and there's like a house next door that's got like six apartments in it, and the people that are paying, their rent has gone up, so she's like basically trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yep.
So that's my thing is, I mean, I want, if I have to move, I have no problem with it, but I'm just saying with holiday time like this, I'm just curious what, you know, as a tenant, my rights are.
I think she's got the upper hand in this particular circumstance. So if I were you, based on everything I've heard, I would start looking for something else.
Okay.
All right.
That's all I need to know. That's what I was thinking too. You know, I just like to hear it from somebody else.
All right. Very good. That's what we're here for.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's go to Anna in Lakeland.
Hello.
Hey, Anna.
Hey. If I would, I'm talking about leaving my property, my house, to my three children in a living trust. Mm-hmm. If I just make up or go to the bank and have them sign that, is that legal?
Take what to the bank?
If I have a paper made up, or if I make up a paper and take it to the bank.
Like a paper, like a will?
Yeah, only it's not going to be a will. It's going to be a living trust. You always say they're better.
Yes. Or would you have a trust? Are you going to have one made? Or how are you going to get a trust?
I'm going to get a trust.
Okay. Well,
can you do that at the bank? That's what I'm asking.
Well, I do what? Can a bank prepare a living trust for you? I'm not quite sure of your question.
Right, yes.
Well, no,
I mean,
they don't practice law, so they're not going to do that for you. So you're
going
to need an attorney.
Oh, okay. So even if I make up a paper and have it notarized, that still is not legal either?
What, you're saying you want to make up your own trust?
Yeah.
You could try to do that, but it's a chance it wouldn't be effective or proper, and then it would all fail. So your best bet would have an attorney do it for you.
Okay. How much does it cost if an attorney does it for a living trust?
Are you single or married?
It's a simple one.
Well, not all fees, not all attorneys are the same. For a single person, we have a flat fee of $695.
Mm-hmm.
That covers the trust, the will, the deed, the power of attorney, health care, surrogate, living will. So that's a package of all the things you need, basically.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I enjoy your program, and
right.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're here every week. Stay tuned for the Angela and Howard Show in Jacksonville, and I'll be on there, and we'll talk to you next week. So long.